Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 52 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get the extreme privilege to talk to Kent Black and Barrett Black from Black's Barbecue, Lockhart, Texas. It's been open since 1932. We talk about Edgar Black and Norma Jean Black, who really pioneered not only barbecue in Lockhart, but also a lot of different things in regards to social change. We get deep into the history of Lockhart itself and into the history of Kent Black and Barrett Black and then their new restaurants they've opened, and it's just everything in between. I know you're going to be fascinated. I'm already going to love this one. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine, and you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a we just got through about 3 days of rain, so it was much needed. But it's always a big deal when it comes here to Los Angeles. You guys get rain.
We either get a hurricane or it doesn't rain. You know.
I wanted to let people know more about your background. I know that you guys. It's 1936 is when the restaurant opened up, right?
Yeah, we opened in 1932. My grandfather opened
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah, we started out across the street for 3 or 4 years, and then we moved it to where we are now. And my parents have enlarged it 5 or 6 times.
Parents, they born in Texas?
They were born in Texas. My grandfather his family, you know, goes way back to Revolutionary days and back even in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
So his family, like most back in those days, headed west, and he was actually born in southern Oklahoma and lived in southern Oklahoma, northern Texas.
Oh, really?
He was living in Elk City, Oklahoma. Elk City, I think it's kind of southern Oklahoma. And my great-grandfather had a family member living down here in central Texas, and my great-grandfather went down to see that relative in January.
Okay.
And when he left Oklahoma, it was like 6 degrees and knee-deep snow. And when we got down here in January, we were having like 75 degrees and beautiful. And the story is my great-grandfather sent a telegram back to my great-grandmother that said, "Sell hotel, move to Lockhart." And so we can thank the weather for us coming to Central Texas.
So did they own a hotel in Oklahoma?
It was like more like what we'd call a bed and breakfast today.
Okay.
Took in boarders and she cooked, and they cooked and rented out rooms and things like that. So
when they moved to Lockhart, what was Lockhart like? Was it?
They actually moved to a little town called Delhi between Lockhart and Bastrop.
Okay.
And it was like less than 100 people. They had about 50 acres, lived out in the country. They were farmers, ranchers.
No running water, of course.
No running water.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, my dad, no joke, rode a horse to school. Imagine putting a six-year-old on a 30-minute horse ride to go to school every day.
Oh my Lord, that sounds like it sounds like something out of a movie. And it's the things that we did even when we were kids. Like Barrett, you're younger than I am, but imagine 6 years old on a horse.
Yeah, and crazy. And then his sister would ride with him, so he was 6 and his sister was 4, and that's how they got to school.
Oh my gosh, and that was, and then what made them eventually? Did they eventually move to Lockhart, or did they open a market in Lockhart?
Well, they eventually moved to Lockhart out of necessity. You know, you got to remember it was 1932. The Depression was going on.
True.
The banks were literally closed. People did not have paper money in their pocket.
That's hard to imagine.
Yeah. And so my grandfather had 100 head of cattle. And the story is that the federal government came out there and said, "Mr. Black, if you let us shoot these cattle, we'll give you $1 a head and put $100 in your pocket to help stimulate the economy." And he didn't want to do that. And I said, "No, I don't think that's a good idea." And he had a friend, Mr. Joe Robble, who had always wanted to open a meat market. So my grandfather said, I got 100 head of cattle. Mr. Joe, you want to open a meat market? Why don't we be partners and open up a meat market grocery store? And they shook hands, and that's how we started.
Wow.
And they actually, my dad, who lived to be 91, talked about the cattle drive they did from Delhi into Lockhart.
Oh, that must have been fascinating.
It's about 15 miles. It took them 2 days. And my dad rode a horse, you know, into town. And back then, each little town had their own processing plant. So in Lockhart, they took the 100 head of cattle to the processing plant and turned them into they just processed them into different sides and quarters and all that. And those 100 head of cattle is what opened our meat market, grocery store, and your joint.
And so in 1932, were they actually selling barbecue at the time, or was it just a meat market?
Well, this is, if you find an old barbecue joint, an old family now, this is how they almost all started. In the 30s, there was very little refrigeration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In fact, all they had was like blocks of ice, and it wasn't that prevalent even for the blocks of ice. So your fresh meat would maybe only last a day or two in the fresh meat display. And so before it would go bad, they would do two things to it. They would either make it into sausage where they could smoke it and get some, where it would be preserved.
Mm-hmm.
They would cook it into barbecue, which again would preserve it for another 2 or 3 days. And so every little meat market also sold a little barbecue or made their own sausage on the side.
Because I remember hearing that about places in Taylor that they'd sell out of the back at the beginning. It was sort of... That was kind of the case across Texas. There weren't as obviously as many barbecue places, but
yeah. But if you had a meat market and if something was before it went bad, you would, you had to make a little money on that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Barbecue it or make sausage out of it, and so that was extremely common back then. And then slowly, the barbecue part of it got more popular.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, the grocery store part of it got more popular. And eventually, that's when they moved across the street and opened a grocery store, freestanding,
okay,
and a barbecue joint that shared a common wall, but it was its own business.
Okay, and it had so, seating?
Yeah, had some seating, and both of those businesses grew over the years, and the grocery store ended up being a 6,000-square-foot grocery store.
Wow.
Black's Barbecue ended up being the largest barbecue joint in the county.
Wow.
Eventually, but we're a 86-year-old overnight success.
Exactly. I like that. And it's also, now, was your dad working at the, and I extend my condolences to both of you for your father. He was a great man. That was last year, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, last June. He had a great life. So appreciate
it. Yeah. Long life. And he's a figure and an iconic figure in the history of Texas barbecue too.
Oh, yeah, he is. As far as we can tell, he was the first person in the 1950s to exclusively use briskets.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because back in these meat market days, you would barbecue whatever was left over.
Mm-hmm.
So some days, the barbecue would be really good. Sometimes not so good.
Yeah.
Couldn't cut of meat you cooked. So he would... He decided in the 50s that the brisket was the perfect cut of meat to barbecue.
Oh.
Because it's got a lean end, it's got a fat end, it's a nice size, pretty easy to cook.
It's delicious.
We
know that for sure. But was he trimming it down? Because I know that during a certain time, maybe even the 70s, people were really trimming their briskets down.
Go way back, you could get a brisket with... a part of the bone attached to it.
Oh yeah.
Now, because everybody, brisket came. I mean, beef came in sides, a whole side of beef. So every little store had their own butcher, and they would, and that's kind of coming back now.
Mm-hmm.
The butcher shop is coming back, but that's the way it was in the 30s and 40s.
So they would break it down with it was that whole area, right? This whole side, right? Like, is that with, and it had the short ribs and the longer short ribs, right? And
the plate comes next. The plate or the chuck.
That's when magically an image comes up on the screen of showing us what.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only two briskets on a cow, and they come off the chest of the animal.
But were you selling beef when they were they selling beef ribs at the beginning? Was that something that, or he had realized that there was a potential with brisket. That was there also with the beef short rib?
The short ribs I actually added to the menu about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and those I kept having my guests come in asking for beef ribs, and so I asked my vendor to send me some, and they brought me these really sorry country ribs with all bone, no meat.
Okay.
I don't know what that is, but I'm not. That's not a good cut of meat. It took me about a year to find the short rib.
Okay.
And I added it to the menu in about 2008. And as far as I can tell, I was one of the first people in Texas, maybe in the country, to sell these full cut 7-inch short ribs.
Mm-hmm.
On the menu on a regular basis.
And I want to think that it was a photo of that. What was one of the first times I actually saw it, and it was so massive, and it was gorgeous. And when I did go to your location when I was living in Texas, that was I had to order one because I think you're right. I think you guys are the first people to on a widespread basis to sell it.
Yeah, on a commercial basis. Yeah. So yeah, and now it's our most photographed meat item we have. Most people have never seen it, but the first thing they do when I get to their table is take a picture of it and Instagram.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. You can't if you don't take a photo of it. You didn't even visit the restaurant, right?
Yeah. And then my favorite pictures are a 2-year-old boy or girl and hand them that giant beef rib,
mm-hmm.
put their left hand on one of them side and kind of eat it like corn on the cob.
Uh huh. Yeah.
In their head, you know.
No, I love that. I love those photos, and a lot of times people too could put it up and you could see like only a portion of their face because of those beef ribs.
Yeah.
Did you grow up working at the restaurant, or did you take some time off and do a?
Let me tell you just a little bit about how my dad got into the business.
Oh, for sure, please, yeah.
Because, like I said, he was only about 7 when our family did that cattle drive into Lockhart and opened the store. And, he went to high school in Lockhart, and then he started to college at Texas A&M University.
Okay.
Just a couple hours from here. And about that time, Pearl Harbor hit, and World War II
mm-hmm.
came out. And like almost everybody in that generation, they joined the military. So he joined the Navy, served 4 years in World War II.
Oh.
And when he came back, he went back to A&M on the GI Bill to finish his degree. And he finished in the top of his class with a degree in accounting. And he was offered a great job in Houston with Exxon to be their corporate accountants. So he told his dad what he was going to do. His dad was also named Edgar, so Edgar Sr.
Okay.
And Edgar Sr. said, well, Edgar Jr., that's fine. Why don't you just come up here to Lockhart? Let me take off a couple weeks, run the business for me, and then you can go on down to Houston.
Oh, no.
Well, you know where I'm going.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
2 weeks turned into 65 years.
Oh,
Texas got a great barbecue man, and Exxon lost a great accountant. But so what to Exxon?
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. Exxon did all right. They definitely miss it. But did he ever go there for a week or to visit? Did he ever get a chance to go to Exxon at all? Or
I'm never asking that. But he never talked about it. But I think that's part of our longevity. You know, everybody thinks the restaurant business is so easy, but he had that business background and knew how to he knew how to cook barbecue and how to manage his finances, and
that's a huge part of the business that people don't realize.
Yeah, you can be a great cook, but you got to have all those business skills to stay in business and pay your bills. So
it'd be nice just to hang out by the smoker and tend the fires all day.
Yeah, and take photos and hang out. And yeah, they could and tweet people and stuff. That's not what it's all about. You actually have to work and pay your bills and worry about your next shipment of. It's definitely it's a challenge. So then for you then, did you grow up wanting to work in the business? Was it because did your dad instill that with you, or was it, did he say you should run and you should do something else for a little bit?
Well, no, I started in my own business when I was 6 selling snow cones out front.
Oh, I didn't know that.
on the sidewalk. Yeah. Yeah. I made some good 6-year-old 1958. I was taking home $15, $20 a day, and that's some real money.
That is some real money.
Back then, selling snow cones. So that was fun. My parents would have to come out and help me make change. That was fun. But no, I grew up working the business and the grocery store, because the businesses were side by side, and I'd be in the grocery store, maybe sacking groceries. You know, used to, you'd actually take people's groceries out to their car.
Sure.
I get a phone call from the barbecue. Kent, we're really busy. Can you come over here and help? But, okay, let me change aprons and then go ahead and cut meat. So yeah, it was a good time growing up in Lockhart and doing those kind of things.
Who built the pit? Did your dad build the pit?
My dad built the pits in the late 40s.
Okay.
Pits we still use today.
Yeah, they're beautiful, and it's so cool to go back there and check it out.
Yeah, he built things really solid. He should have been a contractor. In fact, all of our additions, he and my mother, they were actually the contractor on all the add-ons we did. Huh. And so I tell the story that if a tornado ever comes to Lockhart, I want to be in the pit room. And I ask, well, first of all, it's all brick and metal, and it will be the last building standing in Lockhart. And second is, there's a walk-in vault there with barbecue and beer. So we'll be fine when electricity's out for 3 days.
Yeah, you could survive. You could probably survive almost a week.
Yeah, and we cook wood, so.
That's true.
We don't need electricity.
Not at all.
But my parents told me that I could not be in the barbecue business as I got older. They said, you cannot be in the barbecue business until you go to college,
okay,
make really good grades, and until you become a professional and have a career. And then if you're still, still want to be in the barbecue business, we'll talk.
Okay.
So I went to college, graduated from SMU, and then I went to law school and became an attorney.
I didn't know this.
Huh. Yeah, practiced for about 25 years. I still helped out in the business part-time, but not full-time, obviously.
Okay.
And I was a prosecutor for the state of Texas. I was in private practice, and I was a municipal court judge here in Lockhart. So got to do a lot of different things. And then finally, when both my parents got into their 80s, they said, okay, I think we're ready to retire. And I said, all right, I did everything you want me to do. you can take it over.
So that was what? That was 15 years ago?
Yeah, about 10 or 11 years ago.
Okay.
I took over full time. But it was good advice. You think about it. You know, we were a small business, really couldn't support multiple households. And, you know, going to college, being professional was I think was really good advice.
Oh, it's great advice, and it's the restaurant business is a very hard business. When did the groceries portion shut down? Because you just don't still have the grocery portion, do you? Or is it hidden somewhere?
No, we still have the building, but we got out of that in about early 80s.
Okay.
Early 80s. In fact, next time you're in here, we've grown so much, we've taken over that building, and we've about doubled our seating.
Oh, okay.
We cut over in the brick wall in the dining room, and we have seating for about 80 or 90 people in this grocery store building now.
Oh, so, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. That helps out a lot. I'm sure that helps that, like, during time, like overflow. That's great. Well, at the time when you're a lawyer, what were they always cutting? Did they always have that traditional line with the cutting block there? Was that always the way they had it? Was that from the very beginning? Or?
Yeah, that's been from the get go. That's how we always started. We had that block there and the knives. We asked the guests, hey, what would you like? You know, we put all the meats out there. Do you want off lean in, fat in? You want some burn-ins, and we custom cut every order.
And that's very unique. It's not as unique to Texas barbecue as it used to, because there's like Central Texas style places all across the United States. But that's that style. I wonder who is it. Just because that was sort of like a butcher shop? Is that maybe why that's? I always wondered how that happened.
Yeah, but, no, I think it comes from our meat market and butcher shop days. You know, you'd go in and there'd be a case with the meats in there, and they'd pull out a piece of meat, and, you know, if you wanted a some T-bones that ask you how thick do you want them and how many. And everything would be custom cut. So we just continued that tradition. You know, we still sell, you can still get your barbecue on butcher paper. There we go, butcher paper. That's what call it. It's what they use in butcher shops.
So it's just an extension of the whole butcher mentality, Vic, too. I've always wondered how that went. I guess that's how it worked. I never really...
And we're, there's also a German influence here in Central Texas. So I think that's where the sausage making came from, the German style sausage that we make.
Did you guys have sausage from the beginning?
Yeah, from the very beginning. Yeah.
For your sausage, you make a tremendous amount. And I guess too, I'd kind of like to get into the shipping portion, because the shipping, it was unique to you guys, and it's a chunk of your business, like 10 or 15%, right?
Yeah, it is.
When did that start?
Well, my parents started back in the late 50s, before there was any FedEx or UPS or DSL or anything like that. I remember people would call my dad from California and they'd say, "Mr. Black, we need 200 rings of some of that." They called sausage back then hot guts.
Hot guts, yeah.
Made from the intestines, you know. And we need 200 rings of hot gut. And he'd say, "Okay, Mr. Jones, mail me a check." And of course, no credit cards back then. No. Mail me a check and we'll get it going. And we would ship it on the Greyhound bus.
Really?
Yeah. We put it in a box and you know, it smoked, so it would keep 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. And we put it on the Greyhound bus. And back in those days, every little town in Texas, the Greyhound bus would come there and stop. Pick up boxes, pick up passengers. We had a Greyhound bus station in Lockhart, Texas. And then we started losing, the sausage was getting stolen on the bus. And so we had to take our name off of the box. Oh. So nobody would know what it is.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's terrible, but it's pretty funny.
That way you'd make it to California or New York or where it was going. And then we got into when the post office started doing some, you know, more 2-day shipping and stuff like that. And then when FedEx and UPS and all those guys came around, we shifted over to them. And then Barrett got us online with a website. And now if you order from blacksbarbecue.com, if you order by before midnight? If you order before midnight, we'll ship it out the next day, and you'll have it in 48 hours.
Oh, that's so great. And I've this was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I've gotten a shipment from you guys, and it's so Barrett is. So when did you? What did you go? Did you tell Barrett to go off to college and get out of the business, or did you? What's your history?
I told him he's going to college.
So. Yeah. It was always assumed that, yeah, I'm going to school and, okay, you know, doing something else and everything. And so, yeah, once I had a few jobs during college and everything. And then once I graduated, I had another job for a few months. And then I just decided that, you know what, my grandparents are still alive right now. And, you know, barbecue is our family tradition. Why don't I see if I can work there for, you know, 6 or 8 months and just learn how to cook a brisket and a few things and then go get a real job, you know. So. I asked my grandfather and he said, "Sure, yeah, that'd be great." And just over that 6 or 8 months, you know, I started from the bottom, you know, mopping floors and just all the basics, and worked myself through the many different positions. And then, through sauce kitchen, tying sausage all day long, and then learn how to trim briskets eventually, and then really got into the smokers and the pit room. And so I'm real appreciative that how my dad and my grandfather, you know, really made me go through that process.
Oh, that's important. That's great.
Yeah, and not just like, you know, straight to the top and now I'm a boss, but really I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. You can't identify with anybody in any other position if you haven't done that.
Exactly.
What year was that?
I started about 2008.
2008, okay.
Yeah, that's when I started full time. When I was a kid, I'd come and work the drink counter and stuff a little bit here and there, and I just thought it was the funnest thing ever. But yeah, I didn't start getting paid real money until 2008.
Wait, we have to pay you?
I thought you don't get paid in clothing and hats and cool stuff. Oh, the cups. You don't get paid in cups.
Right.
Yeah, but Barry got a college degree in economics.
Oh, did you? So, okay.
real proud of him.
Yeah.
And then, so are you sort of the, did you help engineer the website? Is that?
Yeah, that was kind of the first thing that kept me, you know, in the business, you know, after that 6-8 month period, just that opportunity came to learn something new, to try something new, and to start something that, you know, we'd done shipping, but not on the web mm-hmm. basis or anything. And so I like to think
it's
almost
the best office there is right there, bro.
I like to think just about every year, you know, it's kind of been a different chapter in my life for the business. It's like every 12 to 24 months, something, a new project, something, new opportunity comes. And shipping was definitely a big part of that. And I've been real fortunate to, you know, start these things and then work in them and then kind of work myself out of them to where now I have some great folks that run it now to where, you know, I help out, especially during the busy season during Christmas. But day-to-day stuff is all taken care of.
That's
now.
Great. So that's invaluable, the tools that you've learned with that and being able to put off prod, because there's that thing with people to micromanage every single little thing, and that doesn't help a business grow.
Right. Wow. Yeah. I mean, fourth generation, you know, each generation we've had our own responsibilities. First generation, my great grandfather started it, got it off the ground from nothing. And then my grandparents, you know, way before barbecue was cool, they, you know, really put themselves to the craft of perfecting it and just caring about the quality just for the sake of quality. Because that's who they were, and they really cared about that stuff. And now, you know, my dad's the pit master, and he's taking it over, and you know, really, you know, bringing it into the future. And it's, you know, I see it as my brother and I's job, and then even my sister, who she's not directly related to the business, she's a photographer, but she just helps share our story.
Oh, that's great.
Such a great story. And so I see that as my main responsibility, is to share our story and to try to find ways to feed more people, you know, as much as we can. Because we've been gifted with these great recipes and these great techniques that my, you know, forefathers worked so hard to, mm-hmm. to give.
When did you guys when did you realize that Black's was on the map, that it actually was something that was really special, or was that something that you knew about because you were specifically in the business? But when did the family know that Black's was something really special?
I don't know. We're still kind of shocked. You know, that people will drive from all over the country and all over the world to eat with us, because, you know, growing up here in the 50s and 60s, you know, I just, you know, hey, every town's got a barbecue joint, and what's the big deal? And you just assume that everybody knows how to cook this way and eat this way all over the country. But we've, you know, recently realized that once you get about an hour from Austin, the barbecue style changes pretty dramatically. And you get closer to Louisiana, it's even different. Or you know, head out west, it changes, because barbecue is so dependent on the type of meat you can get, the type of wood you can get.
For sure.
And so this style is, I never thought this style would be sold in New York and L.A.
I know, it's crazy, huh?
It's you know, when you're in the middle of it in a small town, you kind of take it for granted. But I'd say over the last 10 or 15 years, with all the television programs coming here to the Travel Channel, Food Channel, Discovery Channel Asia, all those kind of things coming here that we've...
Discovery Channel Asia, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize with all these travel channels, they go all over the world. Mm-hmm. And... you know,
I remember I was on vacation in Europe a few years ago. I was just flipping through the channels, and I saw my face on a commercial in Europe on the TV.
What?
For like a Travel Channel show or something like that.
That's interesting.
That was the strangest thing. And then, I don't know, just opportunities where a couple years ago somebody asked us to come cater in Los Angeles at Warner Brothers Studios. And then, like, we cooked on one of the sets at Warner Brothers Studios, and then the very next day or even that night, we had to take a red eye to New York City because there was a film festival that we were in one of the films, and they want us to serve barbecue there. And so to serve barbecue on both coasts in 48 hours, I mean, that was an insane experience where it's just, my gosh, like, people are really want our stuff. But, I mean, for me, I think just – like, we get bogged down in the business day to day sometimes, and so we're very blessed and honored that people would want to tell our story, and even yourself wanting to record our story and everything like that. And I mean, just last week, the National Barbecue Association awarded the Pitmaster Legend of Barbecue Pitmaster Award. And so that was more of an honor for my grandmother and my grandfather and everything. But I know for me personally, it's just an honor to have that legacy and that namesake that I get to be a part of.
Yeah, it's great. And I think there's a lot of great things about you guys, but I think the one thing that I hear and the one thing that I truly, truly believe is that you're consistent. You're always consistently good. That's something that you guys strive for is consistency. And that's a really difficult thing in any restaurant business, I think.
Yeah. My grandfather used to say, yeah, maybe you had, great food, great barbecue a year ago, or a week ago, how was lunch today on Friday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you're only and we believe in food business, you're only as good as your last meal.
True.
And we even take it a little farther. We open at 10 a.m. In the morning, here at Black's Barbecue in Lockhart. And we expect at 10:01 a.m. for us to have the full menu ready, hot to eat. And then we'll close at, say, 8 o'clock at 7:59. We're going to have the full menu hot and ready to eat. Now
that's
the kind
unique.
Of the trendy thing is, we sold out. You know what? It's easy to sell out. I can do it tomorrow. Just don't cook enough.
I've thought about that a lot. I thought, selling out is important. It's you want to have fresh product the next day, but you could tailor it so that you sell out.
Well, yes, we do. We have our foods ready and waived. So the end of the night we're down to, pretty much nothing. But, fortunately, since we're a destination restaurant, we have, if somebody's driving, 4 hours to get to us, we're going to have some food for them.
Yeah, that's important.
My grandfather and parents always taught me take care of the customer. That's how we've built our brand, built our business.
That's so smart. And then in the end, it's the customers that are the most important thing. It's like a baseball player that doesn't like the fans or something. You always wonder, like, well, I don't think you're going to have a very long career.
Well, I'll ask the staff that I'll hire. I'll ask them in part of the training. I ask them, who's your boss? Well, they point to me. I said, I'm not your boss. I said, you see those nice people sitting in the restaurant, that's your boss. You take care of them, you'll have a job, and we'll have a business, and everybody's a win-win. I also ask my new hires, who pays your check? And, of course, they say, well, Kent Black, you signed the check. Your name's on it. I said, I don't print money. Split line with credit cards and cash. They're the ones that pay your check.
That's great.
Take them. And no matter what business in, you'll be successful.
That's super smart. Well, let's get into what, because I know what you guys sell, but what do you sell? What do you guys sell? And then also, your sides are different. Like, you guys have your sides off to the side. I'm trying to think of when I went, it was different than I think other barbecue joints.
No, my grandmother, she was a great cook, and so she came up with a very large assortment of sides. When you walk in, you'll serve yourself the sides.
That's what it is, okay.
Cold bar and a hot bar. With three or four different cold sides and five or six different hot sides. And we really pride ourselves on having a variety of those items. We really care about the quality of the sides just as much as we do the meat.
So you come in, grab a tray, get your sides, and then you go to the meat cutting station, right? I just want people to kind of get in their mind so that way when they come, they'll...
Exactly. So.
And then what meats do you guys offer?
The classics, we have brisket, the giant beef ribs, pork spare ribs, pork baby back ribs. Right now we have three different kinds of sausage. Of course, we have our original, which my grandfather came up with, and then a couple of spinoffs, our jalapeno cheddar and garlic flavor as well. Turkey and chicken. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Oh. You got the giant beef rib?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot.
You don't have and it's not like it's not, you're not going to have like pork belly and crazy pastrami and.
I like to play with it sometimes. We've got a location in San Marcos that does pork belly,
awesome.
And it does really well there. And we tried it in Lockhart, but it for some reason didn't sell. So we're like, okay.
Well, people come here wanting the brisket, and they want the giant beef ribs. They want the homemade sausage.
Without a doubt.
There's just a lot of competition for the main entrees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Smoker, you know?
Ever. Yeah. St. Marcus is just, it's a different clientele. It's more neighborhoody and everything, a more neighborhood.
Can you tell me a little bit about that location?
It's something we opened about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, just something that once we felt like, you know, we had locker under control, we thought, you know, let's try to share this a little bit more. You know, like I was mentioned earlier, it's, you know, we're trying to share these recipes and everything with more people. And so we looked for a couple of years for the right location in different cities, and this location, San Marcos, came up, and it just seemed like the perfect spot. A little bit off the beaten path. It's used to be an old cotton gin warehouse.
Oh, wow.
And so it's, building's 100 years old, and we were able to preserve most of it and just still keep the charm and the character of it, and then put our little spin on it and, you know, fill it with the smell of barbecue as well.
We have a family connection with that building that we didn't know about. Like Barrett said, it was a cotton warehouse. Across the street was the cotton gin, you know, where they would take the raw cotton and turn it into bales, and they would store it in this building that we're in at we branded that one as Kent Black's Barbecue in San Marcos. It's at 500 Hall Street, mm-hmm, in San Marcos. And so I got to talking to my mother, and I said, wasn't my grandfather on her side a cotton farmer? And she said, yeah. And so it turns out my grandfather took his cotton to that gin to be baled. So there's odds are, I mean, his cotton was stored in that building.
Oh, without a doubt.
At 60, 70 years ago.
Oh, that's
so
weird. So it's kind of meant to be. It's a, there's like that thread.
We named the main dining hall after his last name, which is Nolte, German name. Huh. So it's Nolte Hall.
Nolte Hall. Oh, that's fine. How big is that location? How many seats?
We seat about 150 inside. Okay. It's within Lockhart. And then we seat about another 75 outside.
How far is that from Lockhart?
It's 17 miles.
17 miles.
Yeah, yeah. It's San Marcos, Texas, is off of, it's on Interstate 35. It goes from Austin and San Antonio. It's a college town. Texas State University is there. It's a great community.
Oh, what a great location. And so then you do some, Barrett, you said you guys do some additional things sometimes there?
Yeah. They do the pork belly there regularly. I mean, at all the stores, sometimes we'll change up or have a new variety of our sausage flavor.
Sure.
Thanksgiving, we have fun and make like a turkey Thanksgiving sausage.
I didn't know that. Oh, I'd love to try that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Interesting.
And we'll partner with a local brewer or something like that, make a beer sausage, which is fun. And, yeah, I'm doing lamb this weekend for a special event. And so, you know, we always stay tried and true to the essentials of barbecue. We never want to stray too far from any of that. But, you know, we like to cook and have fun with some things too.
And you have an Austin location too, am I going crazy?
Yeah, we do. I like to call it our Austin Outpost.
Where exactly in Austin is that? Because it wasn't there when I was.
Yeah, we're at, it's at the intersection of 31st Street and Guadalupe Street. So okay. Just north. The UT campus.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what's unique about it is we actually still cook everything on the original pits in Lockhart, and then we truck it up there hot a couple times a day.
Oh, wow, that's neat.
You know, it's hard to find a spot in downtown Austin with parking and everything else like that, and the character, and also a place to put smokers. So,
you
know, we knew that, you know, why change a good thing when we can just, you know, throw on a few more briskets here in Lockhart?
For sure.
You know, share the Lockhart taste with everybody in Austin.
And how big is that location?
It's a little bit smaller. We seat about 60 inside, and maybe another 30 or 40 outside.
Okay, that's a decent size.
Actually. Yeah.
Wow. And so who are you there off? Like, how do you manage all this? Do you have somebody
that's
else?
That's
gotta be. That's a little bit of a challenge, right?
Yeah.
You want to come work for us?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Well, this has been another one of those chapters in the business over the last few years. Like, it has been a challenge and a new one, and something we've had to learn, you know, how to do. I take care of the Austin store mostly because I live there. I live in Austin, live close to that one. My brother takes care of the one in San Marcos because he lives closest to that. And then dad, he's everywhere, mostly in Lockhart, but you know, he still checks up on us in Austin and San Marcos and just wherever it's needed. And so, like I say, we've adopted, you know, some good people into the family as well. We've got some, you know, great managers, some great leaders in the business too that are actually, you know, have freed us up to. We're actually about to open another spot in New Braunfels Yes, and we just closed on that property, and that should be opening hopefully in the next, you know, 2 or 3 months is our goal. And
will that be under the Black's name or Kent Black, or how will
that be under the original Black's name?
Blacks. Okay. And we're probably going to eventually rebrand that Kent Black's just into a original Black's Barbecue at San Marcos, so get them all under one name.
And that might make sense for people, just so that they. Even though they might not know how that's connected, man.
Yeah.
Four locations. Your father probably never imagined you having four locations.
No, never would have thought. I mean, here in Lockhart, he literally trimmed and cooked every brisket with his own hands, right here for decades. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, that's work. Like, and he probably got in there rather early too.
Yeah. Yep. Sure did. But no, he was a real pioneer in the barbecue business, like I said earlier, about being one of the first people to exclusively use briskets. Mm-hmm. And also, he and my mother, Norma Jean Black, they worked side by side in the business together as husband and wife for 65 years.
Wow.
And first of all, working that long, and number two, working with your spouse for 65 years.
That's unheard of. Yeah, people aren't married for 65 years, but they work side by side for 65 years.
Yeah, somehow they did it, you know, loved each other up until the end and did a really, you know, really, really nice, just great job at it. And they were real innovators also in their community. They were Black's Barbecue, you know, were proud to be the first restaurant in Lockhart that integrated the workforce. You know, we're in Texas. It's part of that, the ugly part of the South, mm-hmm. you know, with segregation and all that. And so we were the first people to hire minorities in our business and give everybody an opportunity, you know, to have a job. And then also my parents would hire folks with disabilities.
Oh, that's so nice.
In the 50s. And I just remember that too. You know, where you know, someone can have a disability that, but, you know, as long as they're paired with a job that they can do, mm-hmm. They can, you know, have a good, you know, people want to work, you yeah. know, so they would do their best to do that. And so they were leaders in the community. And in the early 1960s, this Lockhart School Board decided they would build a new segregated school. And this was years after Brown versus Board of Education that said that separate but equal was not equal.
Yeah.
So they, my parents, along with another family, the Clark family, actually started a petition in the Methodist Church to stop that new segregated school from being built.
Oh, my gosh.
Not enough support to actually stop it. Wow. So they were... really leaders in that, in the community. They helped integrate the Lockhart swimming pool, the Lockhart Little League. It was just, you know, sadly, you know, we were in that, we were, you know, part of that terrible part of the South, you know, but they saw through it. And a lot of their friends said, "Well, we'll never eat with you again if you do that." My parents said, "Well, we don't want your money."
Exactly. Oh, that's great. So they were innovators on the barbecue front as well as socially, which is huge.
Yeah. So they were you know, willing to do the right thing, and so we're real proud of them.
I'm more than proud. I didn't know that little chapter, and that's mm-hmm. that's fascinating, and that's very very important. And wow. That means a lot. And so what should people know too? Because I think that maybe in people's heads, Lockhart has like this mythical It's people don't people have never that have never been to Texas, and also too now with like the explosion of Texas barbecue. What does Lockhart mean to you guys, and what is Lockhart, and how far is Lockhart from, say, Austin?
Yeah, we're in Central Texas. We're only 30 miles south of Austin, so if anybody is in the Austin area, it's really easy to. In fact, I think we're only about 20 miles from Austin Airport. We have a lot of people that fly in, hop in their rent car, and first thing they do is come eat with us.
That's perfect.
Because we're so close. San Antonio is an hour away from us. Houston is about 2.5 hours away. If you're heading down to the Gulf Coast, you head south from Austin on Highway 183. And then we're only about 3 hours from Port Aransas and Corpus Christi.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of things to do here. The Texas legislature, we're blessed that they named Lockhart the barbecue capital of Texas.
When did they do that? Was that 20 years ago or something? Or?
Probably 15, 20 years ago. And so we that was an exciting day to be at the legislature and get the proclamation. We're real proud. Our town's real proud of that designation.
Also, the architecture in the town is pretty fascinating. It's worth if someone's a photography buff. There's a lot of great places to shoot too.
Oh yeah. We're the courthouse is over 100 years old. It's about 3 or 4 stories tall with 4 spires on each corner. It's got a 4-sided clock in the middle of it at the very top, just like you'd see in Europe. And it was featured on the cover of a book by a fellow by the name of Welsh, who wrote a book on Texas courthouses.
Oh, really?
And it was on the cover of it. We've also been fortunate to be Lockhart's been used for over 100 movies in the last 25 years.
Has it?
A lot of movies have been shot here. One of the oldest ones I can remember is Robert Redford was in The Great Waldo Pepper.
Okay.
It about a,
I might have missed that one.
In the 1920s, I guess you can still get it on Netflix.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Some of the more recent ones are like Transformers and things like that have been filmed here.
With Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there was one night we walked out and we heard the sound of like crashing cars and stuff, and we're like, no, it's just Transformers, you know, filming, you know, down the street.
And what was the HBO show that featured Lockhart for about a year on it? The Forgotten, what is it?
Sure.
The one where all of a sudden 8 out of 10 people disappear.
Oh yeah. What was that one called? Yeah, I never saw it, but it's a great concept. It sounded like an interesting concept.
Anyway, they were in town filming that here for a year.
Huh. Because it has that sort of old time town, small town.
It looks just like it did still in the '40s, and Courthouse Square with all the shops around it. We have a lot of antique stores here. And so it's a beautiful area. My grandfather went on to be county judge here, Edgar Black Jr. And so I grew up hanging out in the courthouse with him.
Okay.
I was kind of like Opie from the Andy Griffith Show. It's kind of like Mayberry from the Andy Griffith Show.
I was gonna say Mayberry. That was the word I was trying to. Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, and it's still like that. So it's worth a drive to come by. And it's slow paced, great barbecue.
Well worth it. Yeah. Yeah, you get great barbecue and you get a chance to see something that's kind of a little time capsule.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so are you guys open 7 days a week, or are you closed Sundays?
Well, we like to say we're open 8 days a week because it feels like that. Okay. You know, we're open so many hours. But, yeah, 7 days a week. We close Christmas. We close Thanksgiving. And that's it.
Yeah, and then they can – and if people are going to order online, and you ship most of your meat items, correct?
Yeah, just about all of them. Yeah,
our website is blacksbbq.com.
I'll put a link to all that stuff down – down below for sure, and all your other locations as well. Well, excellent. I thank you guys so much, and I thought I knew more about blacks that I didn't know. So I'm so happy. This is so great. So I appreciate this. This is there's a lot in here that I think a lot of people didn't know. At least I didn't know for sure. So
thank you. Had another hour. We could fill another hour. But...
Hey, somebody's got to get back to work.
Yeah.
Hey, that's so funny. Well, thank you guys, and bye, and say hi to both of you guys. Well, I have your number now, Barrett, so I'll be able to text you just in case, because Kent, you're probably at the Lockhart location most of the time, right?
It just depends on who calls first at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, when your last name's Black, you go where you're needed.
Okay, so. Excellent. Well, I'll send you guys an email a week before I go.
Sounds great.
Excellent, because I would love to film the pits again. I had that footage when I visited, but that was back in like 2010 or something. So I don't know where the footage is now. So I would love to film again.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, Kevin.
Pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having us on the show, and look forward to seeing you someday.
Excellent. I'll send you guys a link once this is edited and not. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
All right. You too. Yeah. Take care,
guys.